our fourth reading. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Praise be to the Lord, for he has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and he helps me. My heart leaps for joy, and with my song I praise him. My adversaries pursue me all day long. In their pride, many are attacking me. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you. In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust and am not afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Have mercy on me, Lord, for I call to you all day long. Bring joy to your servant, Lord, for I put my trust in you. You, Lord, are forgiving and good, abounding in love to all who call on you. So I've always found the Jesus Calling and Jesus Lives devotionals by Sarah Young. I don't know if y'all have ever seen them. Some people love them. Some people aren't a fan, but I happen to really enjoy them, mainly because she has this engaging way of making it feel like Jesus is talking directly to me. So just the way that she words it. So I thought tonight we would take a look at the concept of trust using some of those devotionals to kind of guide our time together. So our first one is from Jesus Lives book. And what I really like especially that I find useful with that is that that book happens to have devotionals that are by topic. For example, there might be adversity, fear, hope, his love, resting in him, transformation. So you have all these different categories. So if you happen to have something you're trying to work through, you can go and find a devotion based on that category, unlike the ones that are just day by day. So I really do like that one. So here's one on trust from that book based on one of tonight's scriptures. Quote, trust in me with all your heart and mind, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge me, and I will make your path straight. Such complete and utter confidence in me has been your goal for years, but you continue to struggle with this. The main culprit is your mind's ravenous appetite for understanding, fueled by a strong desire to feel in control of your life. You want to trust me wholeheartedly, but you feel stuck. Beloved, your desire to rely on me wholly is a worthy goal. Now also believe that I am providing training through your life experiences, and that many of the difficulties you encounter are designed to help you in this endeavor. Allow me to do the supernatural work in your heart. The Holy Spirit will help you think trusting thoughts, but he requires your cooperation. Instead of relying on your understanding to help you feel in control, ask my Spirit to control your mind. Then wait confidently to see the results. As you look to me, trusting me, talking with me, I straighten out the path before you. End of quote. I don't know about you, but I'm one of those who does not like the unknowing parts of life at all. I don't like them. I kind of like to know and understand what's going on now, not later. So the waiting is just like it's chaotic for me. And yes, I completely own that that means that I have this need for control. And for me, it truly takes intentionality to live in what we call the present moment, not having all the answers, right? So there's actually there's a lot of work to be able to do that for me. Trusting that God has it in his very capable hands. What I find when I am able to do that, right, to truly stay in the present moment, not stay in a place of worry, wondering what happened in the past, wondering what's going to happen in the future, but truly to stay right where I am now, when I'm able to do that, there's this peace, this sense of calm that helps me weather that unknowing instead of the unknowing controlling my feelings and emotions. Right? It can go either way, but if I don't find that place of peace and calm and live in the present moment, the chaos of the unknowing rules me. So over these last 6 years, I've actually become oddly fond of the way God uses adversities and life experiences to kind of open up my heart for the transformation that's necessary to find my way back to my true self, which is why we're all on this goal and this journey to try to find our true self. There are for sure times that in the moment, I truly can tell you I'd rather be doing something else other than transforming. But based on the history of how God has used those moments to help me find myself, I trust that he's going to continue to do that in whatever adversities that I'm facing. And that trust comes as I understand that he wants me to go through things with him instead of not being willing to face whatever he has in front of me at all, or for me to try to go on alone without him. So while this next devotional, it's found in the one that's the daily devotional, it's on January 18th, in Jesus' Calling, it kind of has a similar vibe to the first one that we talked about, but there are some pieces that I like in it that kind of give us a different angle on allowing God to make our path straight. So quote, "I am leading you along the high road, but there are descents as well as ascents. In the distance, you see snow-covered peaks glistening in brilliant sunlight. Your longing to reach those peaks is good, but you must not take shortcuts. Your assignment is to follow me. Allow me to direct your path. Let the heights beckon you onward, but stay close to me. Learn to trust me when things go wrong. Disruptions to your routine highlight your dependence on me. Trusting acceptance of trials brings blessings that far outweigh them all. Walk hand in hand with me through this day. I have lovingly planned every inch of the way. Trust does not falter when the path becomes rocky and steep. Breathe deep draughts of my presence and hold tightly to my hand. Together we can make it." End of quote. So I gotta tell you, I would really like to take shortcuts. I would love the idea of shortcuts on this healing journey. Because let's talk mathematically, right? Everybody learned in mathematics. What is the shortest distance between two points is what? Straight line? I'm all for that. One point being our current life situation and whatever's going on where we are. And the second being our life situation as we are on this journey towards health and wholeness and healing. So there's a point there and there's a point we are here. What's the straightest distance? Right? But unfortunately, that's not God's plan for us. But there is a purpose, right, in our transformation for our going on our ascent and descent and all the twists and turns that we go on. Because it's in these times that we learn about ourselves. We gain an understanding of where we've been and where we're going. We actually find patience to endure the ride. We learn to lean on God in those times. I don't know about you, but I lean on him a lot more when things are a little rockier than I do whenever I'm hanging out in an oasis and things are going well. So we learn to lean on him during these times and ultimately become a changed person right from the inside out, that then we become better able to help others and serve God. It's in learning to lean on God then and finding ways to be in his presence and to receive guidance and comfort and security and love during these times that actually forges an intimacy with him that's unlike any other. I especially love in that part of the devotional when they talk about walking hand in hand with God. After a Royal Family Kids Camp this summer, I shared a devotional in the our weekly that goes out about one of my special camp moments. And I do the morning hikes with the campers, and it was on one of those hikes when we had this really long log. I mean, it's at least from me to you, Will, and about this high off the ground. And this little six-year-old girl that was teeny tiny, she was maybe like that big. The t-shirt was bigger than she was. She wanted to cross that log, but she was so afraid. And she, I promised her my hand would be holding her. It would hold her hand whenever she needed it. And for however long she needed it, I told her my hand is going to be right there next to hers waiting for it if she needed support or if she became scared along the way. And so I walked alongside of her the whole way down that log with literally her little hand would be here and she would walk and then she would grab this little tiny hand right next to mine and then she would feel okay and she would let it go and she'd take a couple steps and then my hand was right there. Over and over again, she kept grabbing and letting go and taking a couple steps, and then she would just reach right out. And she knew that she didn't need to reach any further than right there, and my hand was going to be there for her. It was a special moment for me in that moment because I know how difficult it would be for a child in foster care to trust, right? And that maybe, just maybe, that she's going to remember this moment when she could trust that someone was going to be there for her and when she reached out. And that maybe that she'll be able to take that with her in her heart. Also in that moment, I thought how that scene completely parallels the way Jesus is always there for us, right? We can try new things. We can go through difficult times. We can enter into different phases of our life, knowing that Jesus, he's right next to there, right? His little hand's just waiting for us to grab it whenever we need it, right? And he'd like us to grab it a lot more than we probably do. But he's right there and for our support and guidance. And we can have full trust knowing that he's going to be present for us. It was like such one of my favorite camp moments. So lastly, from Jesus Calling, this was in February 22nd, quote, "You need me every moment. Your awareness of your constant need for me is your greatest strength. Your neediness, properly handled, is a link to my presence. However, there are pitfalls that you must be on guard against: self-pity, self-preoccupation, and giving up. Your inadequacy presents you with a continual choice: deep dependence on me or despair. The emptiness you feel within will be filled either with problems or with my presence. Make me central in your consciousness by praying continually. Simple short prayers flowing out of the present moment. Use my name liberally to remind you of my presence. Keep on asking and you will receive, so that your gladness may be full and complete." End of quote. So I think about how easy it is at times to let ourselves live in this place of despair instead of reaching out to Jesus in those times to have him help us carry our loads. The times we think, "I got this, I can do it on my own," only to get kind of too far into despair that we forget to bring Jesus into the picture. Right? Sometimes we get spiraling and we get too far and we forget about it. Or sometimes we think that maybe what we're going through isn't a big enough deal, that Jesus wouldn't be interesting, or it's not a big thing, it's a small thing. We don't need to bring him into that. Or it's something that's been going on again and again for us for a long time, and we think Jesus has kind of had enough of our stuff. So I've had experience in the last couple of weeks, and I call them convergences of grief and loss. I give them a name, which basically means in the course of a day, I'll have several losses that converge at the same time over that day, and you get overcome with emotions. Now, granted, these losses happened a long, long time ago, yet here they still are. So I forget, actually, in those moments when they have the convergences, that as soon as they happen, to turn to Jesus. But what I found is when I am able to ask him to meet me in those places of grief and loss, he does. And gladly and with great comfort and care does he meet me in those places. But I have to remember to ask him. I have to seek him out and be willing to bring him into those places. In the other section, it also talks about prayer. And prayer, to me, is allowing Jesus to be present, right? It's leaning on him. It's allowing him to share in your pain and your trials and your joy. It's remembering he's there during those times we're caught up in whatever chaos and stress of the day is chomping at us to get our attention. He is there when we think we've used up all our assigned tickets of trials that we can bring to Jesus, that we've worn out our welcome with them. This is so not the case. He is there even if we haven't yet experienced his comfort or know how to receive it. He is there when life is going smoothly and we don't feel the need to stay in touch with him. His desire is for us to continually seek him, to walk with him. And it's an unlimited offer. It's just like lifetime subscription to Jesus. There's no expiration date on it. But it's kind of like any subscription, whether it's to the gym or to a really helpful magazine. It only works best when we actually use it. So tonight, I hope that as we learn to trust and we talk about trusting in God, that we actually come to him more regularly and with the smallest of things and with our biggest of things, because his never-ending love for us is waiting just for the asking.